Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father, we do exalt you this morning. If you're the one, the only one, who's worthy and deserving to be exalted, to be lifted up, to be glorified, to be praised, to be honored, Lord, it's all you. We're just here to do that very thing, to lift you up and glorify and honor your name. Lord, I pray your blessing this morning upon these, upon those that couldn't be here. Father, those that need a touch this morning, I pray for that touch to be theirs this day, be it spiritual, physical, financial, whatever. God, I just give it all to you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I saw Brother Rob Brewer walk in this morning, and I said, good, he's here. I don't have to speak. He said, uh-uh. And now I've just met a bishop over here. So I feel like I'm in the hot seat kind of a little bit. So I'm just going to be me, and God's going to be him, and he's going to be glorified through it all.
Amen.
So when I was asked to do this, I was asked to kind of do it on a time limit. And lo and behold, the message is called, It's About Time. So if you will and you want to follow along, turn with me to the 90th Psalm. And we're going to read the first four verses. I'll give you a minute to get there. I want to hear the pages turning. We ready? I read from the New King James Version. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. It's all about time. Do we realize that each one of us is given a time account every day? We are given, you can count them up, you can do the division, 86,400 seconds. That's 24 hours. I'll do it for you. You're given that, but each night, what portion of that you did not use and I did not use wisely is written off as lost. You cannot borrow it from tomorrow or bring it back from yesterday. It's just the time we've been given, and we must live in the present time that we have in today's deposit. We must also invest it wisely. Now, many people live by the clock. Anybody in here live by the clock? I'll tell you what I'm getting at here in a minute. Because time's important, we all look at the clock, but we all, some of us, I won't say all of us, some of us fight that clock because we want to stay up as late as possible at night, sleep as late as we can in the morning, and then rush off to wherever it is we're supposed to be and get there on time. If you've ever gone out in the morning rush hour or the evening rush hour, you know what I'm talking about. There's somebody that's in a bigger hurry than you. And I've learned to quit fussing at those people who cut me off about a half a mile from the off-ramp just to get in front of me on the same off-ramp. And I started praying, God, just convict them of what they're doing. But Jesus never got in a hurry, yet he was always on time. He took time to look at the flowers. He said, consider the lilies. He took time to look at the birds. He knew all about the sparrows. And he took time with the little children to bless them and to talk with them and to love on them. But we are in such a rush. We are a time-centered generation of people. I want to get there before you do. Why? I had a guy this morning come flying by me on Genito Road. Some of y'all know where Genito Road is. Speed limit's about 45 there. He had to have been doing 70. And what does he do? He cuts right in front of me and turns exactly the same place I'm turning. The one thing I thought I was about to see was him get creamed by the truck that was coming up the road that he also cut in front of. It was coming the opposite direction, which he paid no attention to. But he didn't, thank the Lord. I didn't have to witness an accident. Jesus says, we need to slow down and take time. Now, when I first started looking at this, and Diane, my wife sitting over here, she'll know what I'm talking about. Andy of Mayberry, any Andy of Mayberry fans in here? Andy Griffith fans. You remember the show they did where they had the preacher, visiting preacher that came by and he preached on slowing down. Why are you running here? Why are you doing that? Slow down and take it in. We need to do the same thing. We need to slow life down and take it easy and live like Jesus did. Take time to enjoy his creation. Notice what's going on around you. I know everybody says, well, it's the fall of the year. The leaves are starting to change color. They are. The further west you go, the more they're changing right now. I saw the golden hue of a hickory tree yesterday. It's beautiful. I saw leaves starting to turn red. They're beautiful. And you've got to take time to slow down and take that in, or it's going to go by you. We live life so fast sometimes, we miss life. So we need to slow down. So I'm going to use something this morning to get us through this message. I'm going to take the word time and take each letter and give it an attribute. The T, treasure. Treasure the time you have because it is a valuable commodity. It is a gift from God. If you follow down in Psalm 90 and you go down to verse 10, the psalmist says, the days of our lives are 70 years. Well, guess who's there? And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That makes me want to look back through my lifetime and say, what have I done to invest the time God gave me wisely? What have I used that time for? And I want to get you thinking a little bit this morning about what do you use your time for? Do you value the time God has given you, or is it just time? I get up, I go through my daily routine, it's done. Treasure the time. Why? Because you cannot make more time. You can make more money. And all these people who want to work, workaholics is the term we put on them. They're losing that time, putting it into the work where they could be investing it in God's house, in God's service, in the family, in something that's going to pay more of a reward than just money, because that money is going out the door anyway. I don't know about yours. Mine comes in slowly and goes out rapidly. That's how our money works. We just thank the Lord that it's there to use it. A.W. Tozier said this. Anybody know who A.W. Tozier is? He said this, time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it up, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't store it up or hoard it up, as he said, and you cannot save it for a rainy day. I like this last part especially. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. And when you just kill time, it has no resurrection. So what we do with our time is very important. How do we steward our time? Are we good stewards of it? Or do we just, it's another day. Thank you, Lord. We need to take time into consideration of what we're doing with it because it's a treasure. The I in time says invest. Invest it. We use a lot of phrases with time as people around this place, but they're really not possible, the phrases we use. Things such as, you can't buy more time. Oh, I might try to buy some time doing this. You can't do it. You cannot buy time. You cannot save time. You can only invest it. Now, I'm going to get on the guys here a little bit. Sorry, gentlemen. Us guys, you know, when we go places, I don't need a GPS. I know how to get there. I know a shortcut. What would have taken me an hour to get there, an hour and a half or 2 hours later, I finally get there because I had no idea where I was going. I could tell you about the time that I knew exactly where I was going and I knew where a shortcut was, and I took that shortcut and I wound up on private property with a man with a shotgun in his hands. He said, "What you doing here?" I said, "I'm lost." "You're lost? You don't know where you're going?" I said, "Well, I thought this was a shortcut. This ain't no shortcut, son." I said, "Yes, sir, I see that. If you'll allow me, I'll just leave." And he did, and I did. But we think we know what we're doing, where we're doing it, and how we're going to do it. And God says, "Hold on a minute. Maybe not so. We can't save it. We can only invest it." Now, we all have all kinds of time-saving gadgets, right? The main one comes to my mind, the microwave. That's a wonderful time saver. I could fix a meal in there, and half the time it takes me to put it in the oven. Show me the time you saved. Can you do that? Can you show me save time? Everybody's quiet. It's scary. A lot of our time we spend sleeping, working, traveling, watching television, surfing the internet, reading, or just goofing off. I was with a bunch of my hunting buddies yesterday, and we spent time doing things to get ready for hunting season. Don't tell her. She'll get upset with me. And I had to wonder, where did that time go? Did I invest that time wisely? I don't know. I haven't been hunting yet. We'll find out. But what I'm driving at here is we have time for everything else that we want to do. How much time are we setting aside for God? A couple hours on Sunday morning? That's it, God. That's all you get. You get a couple of my hours. That's it. Can't give you any more time. We go home and we take this book home with us right here. And it's in the car seat on Sunday morning after church is over. And the next Sunday morning, it's still sitting on the car seat. We don't pick it up and read it. We don't study God's word like he tells us to. We need to put more time, invest more time into God and into his service and into his church. You want your church to grow? Invest time in it. People are not going to open the door and walk in and say, "Hey, we're here for church." You've got to go to them. I've got two gentlemen out here who work for the Lord. I have not seen guys. Have you all seen in here where it says, just sit on the pew and they'll come in to you? Not in the book. It tells us to go out there and compel them to come in. We're to go to them, not them come to us. And believe me, this world isn't really hungry for God until he starts moving in their hearts and puts that hunger in there. But they're not going to hear it if you and I don't go out there and share it with them, because they're not going to come in here and hear me or either one of these two guys just arbitrarily. "I'm going to get up Sunday morning and go to church." How many people have you ever heard say that other than a Christian? And some Christians don't say that. I told you the story, that little joke about the pastor. Guys, I'm not picking on you if you play golf. Pastor wanted to play golf one Sunday morning, and the desire to play overcame his desire to preach. So he called a deacon, had the deacon fill in. He went and played golf. He got on a par 3 hole, and lo and behold, he had a hole in one. And he could not tell a soul about that hole in one. His time was not wisely invested that particular Sunday. How much time do we give to God Do we treasure the time? M is for to manage our time. How many people in here manage their time? Or you just do things arbitrarily? That half an hour that I set aside to watch Andy Griffith's show, I could spend here. Which one's more wise? Watching Andy or reading God's word? God is the creator of time, is he not? Did God create time? Yes, no, maybe so. I see some heads shaking. God did. Go back to Genesis, you'll read it right there. Then if he created it, he controls it, doesn't he? I'm a little over 70 years old now, and this Bible says I have 70, maybe 80. Don't know. I had a grandmother lived to be 99. Everybody says, well, you're going to live a long life. Not necessarily. God controls the time. Not me. I can't do it. I'll readily admit I cannot manage time. I will blow time like I blow money. My wife knows me. If I get in a sporting goods store, it's Katie bar the door. Because I'll go crazy in that sporting goods store. So every moment is a gift from God that must be managed wisely. In Ephesians 5:14, we're told that we should walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Circumspectly means this. We should be constantly looking around to make the most of every opportunity that is presented to us. Because if we miss that opportunity, it's gone. And you cannot recover it. That's how you redeem the time. If you're wondering where that verse is, it's Ephesians 5:14 and 15. And I found out a lot of these different versions of the Bible write it a lot of different ways. But that's where it's at. I told you the story a long time ago about being in a Food Lion store right up here at Genito Road one day, and I had on a shirt. It was a Michael Waddell, who's a TV deer hunter type guy. It says brotherhood on it. And a young lady walked up to me and she says, what does that mean, brotherhood? And without even thinking about it, I immediately went into the hunting mode and said, well, this is a guy that hunts on TV. He's got this thing he calls the brotherhood. And she disappeared. And the minute she disappeared, my mind goes, you missed your chance. Because brotherhood relates to church. I should have told her, the brotherhood means that we're a group of people who come together to praise the Lord. We love each other. We care for each other. We support each other. We lift each other up. I hunted that store for her and could not find her. I went out in the parking lot and could not find her. And I knew I had missed an opportunity to witness to that young lady because my mind was on the wrong thing. I did not invest that opportunity and it was gone. And I could not get it back. And it took me a while to get over that, to forgive myself of that. So I got to the point now where I'll just blurt it out. I was in the doctor's office a couple weeks ago, and they drew blood out of my arm. And the little girl drawing the blood was there, and she says, you two know each other, the nurse? And I said, yes, we do. My doctor happens to be a very good friend of mine, a good Christian man. And his nurse happens to be his sister-in-law. And I said, yeah, we're kind of a family here. And she says, oh, okay, I see. I said, well, you can be a part of it. And she looked at me, and I said, God's family. She said, oh, I'm already a part of that. I said, okay. But it just rolled out. I didn't mean for it to. It just came out. I don't miss opportunities anymore. I'm very bold. Manage the time. The last one is enjoy your time. Well, now, wait a minute, Leon, you just said I need to invest more time in God. Well, if you can't enjoy God, you got a problem. Thank you, Cody. If you can't enjoy God, you got a problem. How can you not enjoy God? A God who gives you everything you don't deserve and doesn't give you what you do deserve. Not a one of us in here deserved his son to die for us, but he did. We deserve the alternative. He loved us before we ever loved him. Isn't that what the word says? God loved us. We must enjoy our time that we have with God, with God's people, and with our families. I caught myself last night, my wife's not even aware of what I'm about to say. She told me, she says, we planned to go, I think it was King's Dominion, is that what was it is? The Winterfest thing in December. And I said, that's your thing. And I just passed it off just like that. And I went upstairs and I got ready to go to bed and I thought, you dummy. What are you doing with that time? That's time you could be with your family. I need to learn to say no sometimes to the things I enjoy that they don't. There's not a member in my family that hunts other than me. If I took her out there, she'd run everything away. She'd go, 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 get away. My son, I took him one time, he come back and he looked at me right square in the eye. He said, Dad, it ain't for me. I said, fine. That's all I wanted to know. You tried it. You didn't like it? That's fine. My daughter, she's so sympathetic, she picks up animals on the side of the road and takes them home with her. So none of them hunt like I do. But that's something I enjoy. But I've got to learn to put that hunting thing down a little bit to spend time with this one and with my children. I look at these three of them sitting over here now. The fourth one right there in the middle between Rob and Tiff. I look at them, and you look at them good right now because the next time you see them, they're going to be a little bit bigger. They're going to grow. I was talking with Cody this morning. I don't know how many of y'all looked at Facebook, but young Declan has learned to pull himself up. Yeah. And Cody says, Mom's not happy because he's growing up too fast. Kids grow up fast. And it's really an interesting thing. When you get to be my age, time seems like it's going faster too. Thank you. It seems like it goes by so quickly. So what are we doing with our time? Are we managing it wisely? Are we treasuring it? Are we investing it? Are we enjoying it? I've heard the old saying, you only go around once. Make the most of your time. Because I'm going to read verse 12 in ending this. Here's verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Time's the gift from God. What are we doing with it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these people who did take time this morning to hear your word. I thank you for the word. I thank you, Lord, for you. I pray your blessing, Father, upon everything here this morning, Lord. And I pray through everything that's said, done, whatever, Lord, that you will be blessed, you will be honored, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.